Okay, we're up to Perek Dalet. We're up to Perek Dalet. We're up to the Targum of Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. Okay, the Pasuk Yud Gimel, let us review the Pesukim inside again. Tov Yelet Miskein V'Chacham, better to be a child, or better is the child, the Yelet, who is Miskein, who is poor, V'Chacham, but is wise. He has two strikes against him. Number one is young, he's yelet, he's miskin, he's poor, but he has one advantage, chokhma. Chokhma outweighs the two disadvantages. Mi melech, better than the melech zokain, the one who has the two advantages, who has is a king, has power. Number two, he's zokain, he has stature. But yet, uchasili is a fool. So between these two, of course, go with the one who's the yelet of miskin chacham. Asher lo yodalihi zoher od, because the king who is a zokin and uchasil does not know how to conduct himself, does not know how to take care of himself. And as we mentioned in the mitzudos, he says you have to really reorganize the words of pasuk yud gimel. You look at pasuk yud gimel. You look at the mitzudos. Just read those words again. You have to soris hamikra asher od lo yoda lihi zoher v'rotzel loymar zehu bavur ki gam od zos asher bo. There's something else that he has asher lo yoda lihi zoher b'masav ki yachshev atzmo lichacham. So it would appear from the mitzudos that the word od means the way it seems there's something else that he has. There's a third quality that comes along with being a ksil. The person does not know his limitations. He thinks that he can do everything. There's nothing that he cannot do. And that, of course, is the person's greatest chesaron, when you do not know your limitations. Okay, so we did pretty much the mitzudos, and we did Rashi. Rashi had a little elaboration. We're dealing over here with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. Now let's take a look at the Targum. Targum really goes off and elaborates very, very much on some interesting midrashim. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Targum. Tov. Who is the Tov? Who Avraham? The one that we're calling the Yelad Miskain, the child whose Miskain is Avraham Avinu. We are referring to when he was 3 years old. There are multiple, there are numerous Mamari Chazal that tell, there are conflicting Mamari Chazal that tell us when Avraham Avinu first came to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One Medrash says when he was 3 years old, one says when he was 75 years old, one says when he was 52 years old. And the truth is, Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, there were different madregos, there were different degrees of revelation that Avraham experienced at different ages in his life. But the earliest stirrings of recognition that there can be a creator was when he was 3 years old.
That's the Ekev.
Ekev asher shoma Avraham b'koli. What is Ekev? Ekev is bigamatria 172.
Right.
Ayin is 70, Kuf is 102, and Beis, Ekev, 172. How long did Avraham live? 175. So, Ekev asher shoma Avraham b'koli. Avraham listened to my voice for a total of Ekev years, 172 years. So that's exactly what this Targum focuses on. It focuses on when he was 3 years old. Tov hu Avraham. Avraham is the good one, is good. To hu Ravya Miskein. He was a child who was Miskein, that was poor. Vahavos be ruach nivuah min kodam Hashem. He was the recipient of divine, of prophecy. The ish de moda.
Or we have, in parentheses, another version.
Oh, what do you have? Chochmasa. Chochmasa, Ruach Chochmasa, Min Kodem Hashem? Okay, my gear says
Ruach.
Both versions. Okay, but he was a recipient of divine. Okay, whatever, either Chochma or Nevuah. Ezeu Chocham, Haroya es Hanoilat. What is a prophet? A prophet is a Roya. Okay, in the Shanim, the Pasuk in Shmuel says that in Shanim Kamer, I'm doing the Targum Pasuk Yud Gimel Yudalit. Kehelis Perek Dalit Pasuk Yud Gimel Yudalit. He was a Zeh Chacham. Chacham is a Roya Es Hanoilat. Is a seer. Okay? So, V'havei Ruach Nevuah Ben Kodem Hashem V'ishtei Modalei Morei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made himself known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu made himself known to Avraham. Bimhevei bar tlas shenin. So he's telling us here, Yeled is someone who is very young. Avraham is the Toiv. He's the good one. He was the Yelad Miskin. He was poor. He came from a poor family. What? Terach. It seems Terach was a poor man. That's what it seemed, on a very literal sense.
There was
a lot of competition. There was a lot of competition. He was asking, how can he be poor if he was in a lucrative business?
Right.
He was selling Avodah Zarah. Competition. Everyone was in this business.
But I thought he was a leading person politically.
Just because you're a politician doesn't mean you're rich.
In those days, yes. Maybe.
In those days? Well, today. Right, it means low in stature. Right. I know. Miskin means poor.
Like
Nebuch, right. It means he was an outcast. An outcast.
Yeah, I'm trying to say he was endangered. Another way of looking at
Miskin,
who was endangered because of his beliefs. So, in that sense,
he's called a Miskin. Okay. So, this is Bard of the law of Vlotsovi Lemiflach Le Tovosa. Tsovi means to want. It's a very popular word in the Targum. He did not want. Avraham Avinu chose, he decided he did not want to worship idols when he was 3 years old. He, Avraham, is who's the Yatir? He is the Yeled, the Chacham, the Miskin Vacham, who is the Melech Zakein? Yatir bin Nimroid. According to the parish of the Targum, who is the Melech? Nimroid. The Nimroid, Rashia, the wicked one, to Malko, he was a king, Siv, that was old. Nimrod was old at the time of Avraham's life. Tipesh, who was a foolish person. Now here it goes. Now here's something very interesting. Umin biglal delot savei Avraham lemiflach leta leto avosa, because Avraham did not want to worship the idols. The mistake, an idol is a mistaken belief. Rimohi legoy aton nura yokidito. Nimrod threw Avraham into the furnace, the kiln. The Isrechish le nisa min ribon olma. A miracle occurred. What was the miracle? The Shezvei mitamon. He was saved. He was spared from the inferno. The Afil. Now, here the Targum says something very interesting. He's reading this in what it says at the end of the pasuk, and it's a very fascinating idea, and opens up a lot of discussion. Asher lo yodali he zoher od. According to the Targum, it's very, very beautiful what it means, because according to Rashi and according to the Mitzudos, I started there with the Mitzudos. I reviewed the Mitzudos. These last words, Asher lo yodali he zoher od, are very difficult. What is it? What is it doing here in the pasuk? I just want to take a step back. According to Rashi, let's go. What is Rashi? Asher lo yoda li zarod. The kasil is the yetzer hara. Once a person is the property of the yetzer hara, under the influence of the yetzer hara, he's not receptive to mussar. These were the words of Rashi. Asher lo yoda li zoher od. It's already, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Once you are accustomed to doing an Avera, you are not receptive to change. According to the Mitzudos says, Asher lo yodali hi zoherod, means that a king, he has an ode. You have to read the backwards, ode. He has an additional flaw, a fool. The additional flaw to the fool is that he thinks that he knows everything. He does not know his limitations. He thinks there's nothing that he cannot do, nothing that he cannot decide, and that, of course, is the source of his downfall. The Targum says something much more powerful. Being that we have now have defined the Yelid as Avraham, and the Melech is Nimrod, after Nimrod saw that Avraham survived being thrown to the Kivshon Eish, Nimrod should have learned the lesson that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and he should have been Choyzer Beshuva, and abandoned his foolish ways. V'afilu min Bosor Hachi lo hava mando'o bin Nimrod. Nimrod, he did not, there was no knowledge. Manda means knowledge. Nimrod did not take in the lesson. He did not learn the lesson. Nimrod is the horo od bedil, that he should be careful in the future, bedil that the lola miflach lito avosa. To have a polach mele kadmon, that he should stop bowing down and worshipping the idols that he has worshipped in the past. So this is the translation, Asher lo yoda lihi zoher od, after he witnessed the miracle that Avram was spared from the Kivshon Eish, he should have took a lesson and stopped worshipping idols, he failed to do so, and that's what the pasuk here at the end means. Now here's something he has over here in the Sefer, in the Surasi Bamin, it's a very beautiful idea, he has a kasha. What?
I saw him
last night, so you told him that we use the Sefer every day? wheat for yeah.
It just came out on
Tehillim on Chelik Aleph.
Yeah,
Chelik Aleph. He put out
the
Yat Tehillim just for the Mizmar Shabbos.
It's the Yom Hashabbos.
Yom Hashabbos. Right now he put out the first Chelik on Tehillim. Okay, but the point, but he says over something very fascinating. He says there's a Medrash that says, "I'll read you the words of the Medrash that." When Hashem threw Avraham Avinu into what?
Does it say where this is?
V'shabeach ni esameisim shekvar meisu al avos yudash v'lubim hal yav. Okay, I don't know where it is. Okay, Yaakov. No, it's a pasuk. Better than a medrash. A pasuk. It's pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Chavtes, Yaakov Asher Podo Es Avraham. Pasuk in Yeshaya. Yaakov was the one who redeemed Avraham. Now, I don't have the details, but the commentators explain the pshat in this pasuk, that when Avraham was thrown to the Kivshon Oesh, Hashem was willing to let Avraham die. The only reason why Avraham survived the ordeal was because Hashem saw that Yaakov Avinu would come from Avraham, establish the Shivtei Kah, the 12 Shvatim, to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to make an Ishin. Therefore, it was Kedai, it was worthy for Hashem to perform a miracle and spare Avraham in the merit of the grandson that would come from this man. Question is, why did Avraham need the Zuchus of Yaakov to survive? Wasn't the zechus of Avraham big enough? Avraham.
Tzadik ben tzadik is better than tzadik ben.
Okay, so but even though we said yesterday that tzadik ben tzadik is greater than tzadik ben Rasha, but so what? But still, a tzadik ben Rasha also has very great merit. Avraham is, we know, we can't even begin to fathom even the smallest mashahu of the merit of Avraham Avinu. Why wasn't the merit of Avraham Avinu enough for Avraham to survive this event of being thrown into the Kivshan Ho'esh? So here in the Sarasi Bamdilas, he quotes from the Maharam Yofa. I don't know who this is, and he says, the answer lies in the Targum that we just read. And it's a very powerful lesson. The Targum says, after Avram was thrown into the Kivshan Oesh, it was business as usual. Nimrod went back to worshipping his idols. So therefore, the message he's saying, this is a very controversial idea, I think, what he's saying is that even though a person may have very great merits, if nothing is going to come out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing for you a miracle, and Rabbi Wilner over here is in the back. Maybe we can make room for him somehow. Good morning, Rabbi Wilner. Good morning. Rabbi Wilner. So the question is, even though a person may have very great merit, it doesn't mean anything, and Hashem is considering doing a miracle, if the miracle will not produce a greater revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, will not achieve a purpose, it's Hashem will not waste is not going to do a miracle. So even though Avraham Avinu had the greatest merit possible, and it would have been a wonderful thing for Avraham Avinu to remain alive more, but what's going to come from this miracle? Hashem, I'll throw you into the furnace, and I'm going to save you. And then what? What's going to happen afterwards? Is the world going to change? Is it going to be business as usual? Well, the Targum here says Nimrod didn't change one iota. Okay, there's a miracle. There's a God. Hashem saved you from this.
The problem is that after that, Avram.
So all of that is all included in Yaakov Asher Podo Es Avraham. It's first of all, the Nefesh also Bukharan, Chazal tell us they went back. They disappeared. It was temporary. There's a Chazal that says all of those neshamos that converted, they went back to their old ways. It was a temporary tekufa when there was a revelation, but they didn't last long. That's only one Chazal. Some say, no, of course not. Of course they all converted. They all when nichnas tachas kanfei hashchina. But But the message is that this Targum says that the miracle of Hashem saving the life of Avraham did not produce results.
The expected.
And that's a very shocking thing. And therefore, that's why the zechus of Avraham alone was not enough to save his life. Where are the results? It's only because there will be future generations. There's going to be a Yaakov. It's going to shift a Klal Yisrael. Okay. That's a different type of zechus. Okay, but that's a very powerful message over here in this pasuk. What? The pasuk says Yaakov, does not say Yitzchak. So yes, very good question. What about Yitzchak? Why? What about the future of Yitzchak? I don't know. So
because he also produced an Esav.
He produced an Esav. Aha. So Yaakov, Yaakov was mitasai shleima, and that was the zchus. Okay, let's take a look at the next pasuk.
Shows that his results work.
Okay, you're right, and Echanami, that's exactly, because Yaakov produced Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael will bring Mashiach, and Mashiach will change the world. And Echanami, there the results made a difference. But Avraham, the result, I mean, it's a really powerful stuff. We think Avraham, he was thrown to the Kivshon or Eish, wow, we're brought up with this.
Avraham was preaching monotheism, he spread throughout the world.
But this pasuk is saying that his success was limited. That's exactly the point I want to make, is that we are brainwashed that Avraham was everything. But the medrash over here is a very shocking medrash. It goes to the point of saying, Asher lo yoda lihi zohero. The pivotal event in Avraham Avinu's life was, the ten nisyonos. Yeah. Forget about that. But before the ten nisyonos, let's talk about the very beginning of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected him. It's machlokes. The machlokes is the kivshon. Was that one of the ten nisyonos? Was that the beginning? And then
no, was that the first?
Was that the first? Right. There's a lot of but the pivotal role, pivotal event in the life of Avraham Avinu, which got him going, was being thrown to the Kivshon Eish. And here the Targum is coming to emphasize Asher lo yoda lihi zoher od, that Nimrod, who was on the opposite end and watching, and he was the world power. He was the world power. If he would have said this, Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore we have to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole world would have worshipped HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had the influence, not Avraham. Avraham was the miskain. He had no influence. He was the yellow miskain. That's what the Targum says. It says he did not learn, did not make one bit of a difference. V'afilu min bosar hochi lo hava man de'o b'nimrod li'iz de'horo ol b'dil de'lo limifach l'ta'avosa de'lo polach milikadman. It did not make a difference, and that is the power, very powerful message. Okay, let's go.
Even though he didn't do anything wrong, Avraham did the best he could.
Could I do a miracle? Hashem was Mishan the Seder Ha'olam in honor of Avraham. For what? Where are the results? There were no results. That is why we need to come onto the Pasuk. Yaakov Podes Avraham. Okay, let's see the next Pasuk.
Between the life and the action of Nebuchadnezzar, the three were saved.
Yes, so there Hitachi, you're making a very good point. Excellent, you're making a fantastic point that there Nebuchadnezzar did react. And Nebuchadnezzar, in fact, was inspired. He did recognize that he even wanted to call him a god.
That was not a Kishon Eish, that was a lion's den.
A lion's den, but...
Hananya,
that was Daniel. Daniel was turned to the Guvar Royos, and Hananya and Mishael Azari was turned to the Kishon Eish.
Oh.
So in Hanami, Nebuchadnezzar did react. Okay, I don't remember the details. We once upon a time learned this, but he did have a very positive reaction. So indeed, there were results. But Nimrod, Asher lo yodali hi zoher od. Fascinating. That goes to show the degree of his rebellion. His rebellion was that great. Next pasuk, Yudalit, Arum.
But still, even according to the Targum, it's still better what Avraham did. Says,
yes, we know that it's better, but who says that
the Targum didn't bring the Tayelis, that the maximum?
Of course.
It's still better.
Aha, uh-huh. So you want to end, even though it didn't make a difference, still.
Even though it didn't accomplish, it's still. Better.
Okay, very good. No. So that's a very deep idea. Even though we didn't accomplish anything, but there was a kiddush shem shamayim. You're saying very good. He's saying, Marshall, we all think that we abuse the term yimakadeh shem shamayim to mean that a goy is watching. You do something, right? But people think, what does it mean exactly yimakadeh shem shamayim? What does it mean to doy al kiddush Hashem? Does someone have to be watching? Do people have to be inspired? Do they have to be results? There are many madrigos. But the truth is, kiddush shem shemayim can be when you're all alone and no one is watching, and you have an esoyon, you have a temptation to do an avera.
Yosef
Eishes Potifar. But even there, he was dealing with another person, with a woman. Let's talk about when a person is all alone. It's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only one that knows what's going on is him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have an Nisayon, and you're in the Nisayon, that is also called Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Has anything in the world changed? Absolutely nothing. At least that you can see, nothing has changed. No one has been influenced. It's only between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that counts. That makes a difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single moment in life when a person is Mekadeh Shem Shemayim is a fulfillment of Tov Yelad Miskin and Nechachama.
They used to say in the yeshivas in Europe, learn, because if you're not going to learn, someone in Paris is going to be a
schmat. Schmat.
Yeah.
This is a controversial thing about outreach. You're touching upon is that should you invest, should Klal Yisrael, should groups of people invest their time in perfecting themselves? In learning Hasmada Rabba, sitting in yeshiva and kol, learning nonstop, or should they go and be meichel all of the Torah knowledge they could accumulate so that they should go out to Las Vegas and do outreach and find the klipas of the neshama that are Jewish and elevate them towards Yiddishkeit? So this is obviously Chabad. They believe that you got to do yeshtanlus. Five places. The Rebbe originally, that was the only place. The only place the Rebbe did not allow them to send shluchim was to Las Vegas. He said, "Today, originally, I read an article once. The first shliach in Las Vegas, in the early years, he did not allow. He felt that it was such a sakana. Las Vegas was the worst of the worst.
Yes.
Okay. It's
for a while it was family friendly. Then they changed back."
It was the worst of the worst, and he did not allow shluchim to go to set up a Chabad house in Las Vegas. In his later years, he says, okay, the time has come where we're going to make a Chabad house. How many years?
25 years. Since they started.
So when was the Rebbe? When was the Rebbe Nifter? How long ago? He wasn't Nifter. He wasn't Nifter. Okay, let me put it like this. When did they make the Oihel?
23.
The oil was been there.
21.
When did they build the oil?
Excuse 94. Me, the oil was built for the Mariettes.
What am I, a Mashiachist?
What? That section, his section. So yeah, there's a very powerful statement. You're not saying that he died.
You're asking, when did the Rebbe leave the hospital?
When did the Rebbe leave his office? Leave the office.
When did
I went to the Levaya. I went to the Levaya. I was there. I remember the reaction when they brought the Aaron out.
It was a minute. They just took him out.
When they brought the Aaron out, I remember the Hasidim. I remember the sound, the shrieks of the Hasidim when they saw the Aaron. They were like. It didn't really hit them.
There were guys inside.
They were dancing Friday at the night.
They were dancing. I saw them dancing. They were dancing at the Levaya. I saw my own eyes.
Inside the
basement. I saw out. I couldn't get inside. I was on the street. I saw my own eyes. They were dancing in the street. Not everyone. A few people were dancing in the street. It was very traumatic. I remember on the news.
That was the Litvakis.
I remember on television. No, I remember on the news they were talking if they're going to send in a psychologist. It's professionals for therapy, but then they said at the end it wasn't necessary. They didn't need it. No one. What? No.
Nothing.
You're able to walk. If you got there very early, you're able to walk into the office single file to go past the Aron. They took his desk. They made the desk into the Aron. They took apart his desk.
That's the old thing.
They used to use the table, dining room table. The dining room table used to be a person's coffin. Mm-hmm. And a person should be reminded his entire life that the chesed you do upon the dining room table will accompany you into the next world. So his desk was where he spent countless days and nights yichidus, consulting with people. I mean, he did incredible things, a lot of stuff. I don't think there's been a gadol that they put out recently. Okay, they put out so many. Last year alone, they put out three high quality biographies. Last year, three. Tulushkin, you read Tulushkin, right? The whole thing you read is very good, right?
I didn't read it. This apartment of him, Rav Lesser, Soloveitchik, they came to meet him, and when the Rebbe said to Luther, Rabbi in practice, Riskin was a Lubavitcher. He really was involved with Lubavitcher.
Yeah.
The Rebbe sent him to Russia on a secret mission to get money out in shoes. Riskin is telling him. So he went with Negro and sent him away back.
They were college.
I heard an incredible vart from Rabbi Aaron Rakefet. He said a merdeka yisoid. This he said a yisoid which is so true. This side touches the MS. Well, listen to this vart. You're gonna love this vart. It's true. At least for me, it's true. What's the difference between a litvak and a chassid in relation to a rebbe? Let's say you take any rabbi, you take Baba, you take Satan, you take Lubavitch, and you have Hasidim. The Hasidim, they love their rabbi. They love their rabbi. The rabbi, depending on the rabbi, can be a very holy, holy person. And a lot of Litvaks have tremendous, tremendous awe and respect for that rabbi. So what's the difference though? So in other words, you can find many Litvaks that will be makabel a certain rabbi. They're also my rebbe. They're willing to give kivid loch. Exactly. What's the difference? So he says a mori de gavar. The difference is Aaron Rakefet. He says the difference is a chassid. If you're part of the chassidus and he's your rebbe, when the rebbe dies, you have no choice. You automatically pledge your allegiance to the next rebbe, to the son or the son-in-law, whoever takes over the chassidus. This is the mitzias. Then you're not a chassid. You're not a chassid if you're a chassid, a real chassid, and you makabel this one as your rebbe, and the rebbe dies. The mitzias is you have to pledge your allegiance to the successor. But a litvak can hold the world of a rebbe, and it's there are thousands of litvaks that were very close to some of the biggest rebbes of the previous generation. But the difference is they're litvaks, and the nafkamina is that when the rebbe left the world, the next generation, I don't know who you are, I don't know from you, I don't want to know from you, I have nothing to do with the next generation.
It wasn't always that way. It's seder.
In this respect, of course, you know, you're the new leader, but I'm not a chassid. A litvak can be a chassid of a rebbe. But a litvak will never be a chassid of the successor. Of the successor.
It's a chassid.
Unless the successor deserves it in his own right. That's a fundamental difference between the litvak and the chassid in relation to a rebbe. It's so true. It touches on the essence of emes.
So today, our chassidim, litvaks and litvaks and litmeins chassidim. And the proof to what you just said is that when the Berach Moshe, the Sigata, died, you suddenly had two rebbes, with the Zani and the Aaron, and they don't get along. They can't follow one. They want to not.
Okay. All right, okay. We have to go further.
When the Chayzer was Nifter, they didn't go over to his children. They went over to his
Talmidim. The children also went over.
The son has to earn the respect the same level.
Oh. Yeah. But not by Hasidim. That's not the way it works by Hasidim.
As long as some Chasidim it is like that, but the others, as long as it's from the Talmidim and the same Ashkofa.
Okay. Let's go further. Yudalit. Arum min Yudalit in the Tagim. Arum min Gininas Polche. Now it's the continuation. Arum. We're continuing the positive. Mibes Hasazim Yetzalim Loich. Min Ginisas. From Ginisas means a place. Ginisas means a bias. Polchei of Polchei to Avosa Nofak Avram. Avraham came from a family of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Avram came from a house. Terach mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hoyu Avoseinu. We're referring here to Terach. Avram came from a family of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Umelach al Arak Kena'anoe. And Avraham eventually he ruled over the Canaan. Who's the Canaanim? This took place during the whole al Arak Kena'anoe. Arum af biyomei malchusei di Avram. But Arum because af biyomei malchusei di Avram. It's Avid Nimrod Miskeno Beoma. Nimrod became Rosh Bemalchus. Okay, so he has saying a lot of it. He's saying, look what happened. The tables were turned. When were the tables turned? At the war of the four kings against the five kings. So the four kings conquered the five kings, and then Avraham conquered the four kings. Among the four kings was Amraphel. Who was Amraphel? Omar Le'Avram. He said to Avram, Paul, fall into the Kibbutz Shalesh. Avraham conquered, and they gave Avraham Bayetze, Melech Stone, Lekros, so he gave them, yeah.
There, the war was won by Avraham miraculously. There, Hashem made an ace. And what's the outcome of that? They made Avraham king of the world.
King of the world. That's exactly what it says. Canaan. That's exactly.
There, the ace produced a result.
There, the nace produced a result in recognizing, okay, very good. Not like, so he's saying over here that even though originally there was no result, okay. Even though originally did not produce, or here it did produce a result. Okay. Let's see what it says over here. Okay. So this is the point. One more time, the words that were Arum bin Ginisas Polchei Tavos Nifik Avram Umulach Al Arum Kenanoi. He ultimately became the ruler of the entire world, the land of Canaan, which was the civilized world of the time. Arum. And even Avyomei Malchus Edi Avram is Avid Nimrod Miskeina Be'Oma. So therefore, it's very interesting how he translates the pasuk.
The tables were turned.
Tables were turned. It's not the way Rashi, and it's not the way the Mitzvah translated the pasuk. Kimi Beis Hosrim Yosem L'Loich. Avraham was a prisoner. Okay, Avraham he went out of his family of Terach. He was imprisoned in the land of Aram Naharayim with his father, and he was put in the Kivshan. Also, he was put in the Kivshan Shalesh. He was a prisoner. Yotzo Limlach, he went out to rule over the entire world. Ki gam b'malchuso, this means, and gam, even the original king, the king was the Melech Kesil v'Zokain, Noilat, he was born anew. Nimrod was born anew, Rosh, as a poor nothing, at the time when Avraham conquered, when the tables indeed were turned. Okay, now there are a couple of interesting ideas in this pasuk. First of all, another idea, Pasuk Gimel is Tav Yelam Nisken V'Chacham. This Pasuk Gimel, according to the Medrash, refers to Shlomo HaMelech is saying this about himself. That he says that when I became king, how old was Shlomo HaMelech when he became king? 12 years old? 12 years old. He was a Yelet. He was miskain. He was poor, poor meaning poor in knowledge. When he became king, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him the bracha of Chochmah, at the time when he built the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and said to him, what would you like? So he said, he was a miskain, he was poor in stature. He was a yelled miskain, he's calling himself poor. And the Melech Zaki Nechsil, better than the Melech Zaki Nechsil, other kings in the world at the time that were older. Why? Because he, Shlomo, had all the experience of his father. There's something to being, something that goes along with being the son of a rabbi. It's very interesting. People who are born in a family of Rabbanim, you absorb in your bones the experience of what it's like to be a rabbi. A person who's a child of a doctor, you know what it's all about. That's just the way it is. So he's saying, since he, Shlomo HaMelech, he's writing it about himself. I became king when I was a yeled. I was very young. I was a miskain. I was poor, poor in stature. But I was chacham. I was wise because I had the experience of my father better than the kings, other kings out there in the world. Okay, another idea it brings over here in the name of Rabbi Elazar Galikai. We quote him many times, a very powerful Mekubal, very beautiful Drushim. And he says that this pasuk is a message to what type of friends. He seemed to be very true. I once had a very, very unpleasant experience when I needed to speak to a certain very distinguished person. And I was shocked out of my mind when he said to me that he wouldn't even deal with me. He wouldn't even deal with me if not for the fact that I'm a relative of this person who he considers to be very chashev. I don't particularly think that person is the big gedula, but he was machshav. So he said to me, I wouldn't even look at you. I won't even deal with you, spend my time on you. Not to the fact that you're related to this person, so I'll give you the time of day. In other words, he's telling me is he only hangs out with the big wigs. Right? He's not going to hang out with the little simple people.
It's not what you know.
So that's really what it says over here. That's what he says. Tov, it says, Pasuk is giving you advice who to hang out with. Tov, who are your friends? Better be a friend with a yeled, a child who is a miskain, who is poor, v'chacham, but is wise, meaning wise and chachman, yirah shemayim, mimelech, then hang out today. People are chalishing to get signatures from all the baseball players, from all the Hollywood stars, all of the celebrities in the world. And what are they? They're nothing of nothing, shallow, empty lives. But they're the people today that have all the cover, the experience. Mimelech, zakeh, nuchasili, the foolish people. Asher lo yoda lihi zahir. Oh, these people don't know. They don't know what's coming. They don't know from today or to tomorrow. I read you the words, very powerful. What is the pasuk referring to? He says, "Amar ki shema yoimar ha'adam avakesh lichover gadol v'chashuv she'eschabi bo." I'll look for friends that are chachamim, chashuvim, so I will gain honor, even though the person is not a tzaddik. V'af she'enenu choylech kol kach b'derech Hashem yisparach. Does know that's a big mistake. V'chein the pasuk says, "Tov." L'chein Amar Tov L'odem Sheyikach L'chover. Take for yourself. The pasuk here is addressing the common man. Seek friends who you know to be Chachomim and Yorei Shamayim. Don't seek to associate with the rich and famous. The rich and famous are people Asher Lo Yoda Lihi Zoher Od. Okay, another idea this pasuk refers to is, let me read you the Medrash. Let's go to the Medrash. The Medrash says very specifically that this pasuk refers to Yosef HaTzadik. Now Rashi really mentioned that, but the Medrash elaborates and tells us why. Because it says Yelet. The Medrash says Yelet has the connotation of Chavivos, of love, endearment. Exactly. The Medrash quotes the pasuk, Habein, coming up Rosh Hashanah, Habein Yakir Li Ephraim. Ephraim is a reference to the entire Klal Yisrael, because most of Klal Yisrael was part of the Aseres Hashvatim, which was ruled by Shevet Ephraim. So the Navi often calls Klal Yisrael by the name of Ephraim, or some say Ephraim is a reference to Avraham and Yitzchak, the children of Avraham. Klal Yisrael, who is Yisrael? Yisrael are the children of Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham is Efer, the Anochi Eofar v'Efer. Yitzchak is Efer. On Rosh Hashanah, the aisle was the replacement for Yitzchak, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I always see before me Ephroi Tzavur Lefanov, his heir to Tzavur Lefanov. So Avraham is Efer, Yitzchak is Efer. How does one say Efer B'Loshon Rabim? How do you say Efer B'Loshon Rabim? You add a Yud and a Mem. That's the rule of grammar. So Efer turns into Ephraim. So this is what the Das Balei Zakenim. So Haben Yakir Li Ephraim. Haben Yakir Li Ephraim refers to the child of Ephraim. The child of Avraham and Yitzchak is really a reference to the Klal Yisrael. We had the children, Klal Yisrael, the children of Avraham and Yitzchak. Im Yeled Sha'ashuim. Is he not a delightful child? Imam in this context means, is he not? It's a question, rhetorical question. Im yelad shashuim, is he not a delightful child? So we see in this passage what yelad is associated with the word shashuim. From all of Yaakov Avinu's children, which one was the most cherished? Which one was the yelad? Yosef. What is the proof? The osoloi kesoides pasim, even more so than Binyamin. He made for Yosef. He was the first. He was Rachel, the first, the Bukhar of Rachel. He was the most cherished child. So therefore, when the pasuk over here says Tov Yelam Miskin V'Chachamim Menel Zokin, still referring over here to Yosef at Tzadik, then who is going to be the kesil? Who is the Melech kesil V'Zokin? Rashi did not tell us this part of the pasuk, but the Medrash, this is Paro. Paro was a kesil.
Actually, no. Never says too far.
Okay, we're different midrashim. Different midrashim.
Paro is the one who recognized his elevity and promoted him.
Okay, in my version over here in Pesikta Zutrasa, it says over here that the steel is a reference to Paro.
For putting them in
he was an oyved avod zara. Now, furthermore, how else do we know that he was a zokain? The way we know that Paro was a zokain, the Medrash says is that when Paro saw Yaakov, he asked him, "Kama yimei shnei chayecha." Why did he ask him that question? So the Medrash says, because when he saw Yaakov Avinu, what he really saw was Avraham. Paro remembered the grandfather, Avraham. And Yaakov, at this point in time in his life, looked exactly like Avraham. So he said, how could you still be alive? I know you. I know you from 50 years, from 100 years ago. You haven't changed one bit. It can't be that you're the son or the grandson, because you would have aged prematurely. You would have aged prematurely. So Paro says you look like you must be Avraham Avinu. But if you're Avraham Avinu, you must already by now be 200 years old. Can it really be Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha? Now Paro can only say that it takes one to know one. Paro can only say that if Paro himself was an old man and lived to see Avraham Avinu. So therefore, Paro was a zokin, Paro was a melech, Paro was a kesil, because Paro said, "Mi Hashem asher eshma b'koiloi." Paro, the Medrash goes on to say, Paro was hoilech al hayar. Paro choleim v'hinei oimid al hayar. Why was he oimid al hayar? Why was he oimid al hayar? Because Paro used to go make himself into a god. He didn't want people to think that he goes to the bathroom. Because gods don't go to the bathroom. So in order that people should not say that he's not a god, he went to the Beis HaKisei when he went to the Yar. Every day he took a stroll in the Yar, and that's when he went to the Beis HaKisei. So he disguised as going to the Beis HaKisei, but going to the Yar. What a foolish thing to do. So the Medrash says the Paro is the Melech. He is the Zokain. He is a Kasil. Yosef is the Yelet, because Haben Yakali Ephraim Yelet Shashuim. He was the most beloved to Yosef. He is the Miskin. He was poor because he was put in the prison. Furthermore, Miskin comes from the Lashon of Shenistakain. We have translated until now the word Miskin to mean poor, but the word Miskin also means Sakona. He was put.
That's
what?
That's what I said earlier about Avraham.
Avraham, the Kivshanu Eish, he was also Toiv Yelad Miskein. He was in danger when he was put, very good. The Kivshanu Eish, so he was put in the bar. His brothers threw him into the pit. They threw him into the pit. But he was a Chacham.
He was in the jail in the
throne. But he was a Chacham. What was he a Chacham? Because he knew. Now here the Medrash says something very fascinating. What does it mean here that Yosef was a Chacham? Because the Medrash goes on later on and says that he was not Nichshol and Eishes Potifar. He was not willing to be Nispate, to be enticed. It's very good because it fits very well with the Kasil. In contrast to the Kasil, Yosef was a man of conviction. He was not willing to be nispata by Eishes Potifar. But the Medrash says something else which opens up a topic of conversation. The Chochma of Yosef was he did not reveal to his father that he was still alive. That's what it says. See, if you wouldn't say this in the Medrash, you couldn't say this. You would say someone would shoot you down. How can you say such a thing? Is that really... that he did not reveal, he did not send a message to his father the 22 years that he was alive? That's a very tough question. Everyone asks that question. Why didn't Yosef, the 22 years in Mitzrayim, did he not send an SOS? Send a text. He could have texted his father, Dad, I'm here. You know, everybody's getting these emails, all these jokes about people get emails from the dead, from the dead. Right? They get text messages, they claim they get text messages and emails from relatives after they've already died. Okay, so Yosef, so he could have sent him a message. So why did he not send him a message? The Medrash says, they're not making this up, the Pesik of Zutrasi, Chacham, why was he Chacham? Sheloi hoidia le'aviv shilhu b'mitzrayim. Veloi hoidioi loi she'echov machruhu. He never revealed that he was in Egypt during those 22 years, and after he was reunited with his father, he was a Chacham never to reveal to his father what happened. That is the ultimate Chachma of Yosef. Now that requires study. Why is that called a Chachma? But that's what it says. In his Chachma, he very good. He was able to restore the family. He provided for the entire world. Okay, another idea. Now, also, why is it called Shaloyada Lihi Zoher Od? Okay, doesn't really explain that. Referring to Paro, what does it mean? Okay, so one other quick idea is that this this pasuk Yedalei refers to Shlomo HaMelech, as we started. He is the Yale. Okay, wait, I'm sorry. One thing I left out. This is a very interesting idea. I mentioned to you that Yosef is called the Yelet. And I explained that Yelet is because it has a connotation of being cherished, being beloved. And he was the most cherished. It says here in one of the Sfarim that Yelet, backwards, is Dali. Dalit Lamed Yud. Yelet, backwards, is a pitcher. What is a pitcher? Is one of the Mazolos. Which one of the Mazolos? The 11th. It's the 11th Shvat. Shvat is the 11th month of the year. Yosef was the 11th child. And that he was also fascinated that the Vinei HaShemesh Vayach V'Yachad Osar Koychavim. The 11 stars are bowing down to me. Why are the 11 stars bowing down to me, 11? I'm number 11. I'm the Dali. I'm the bucket. I'm the Yelet. Okay, so I don't know exactly all the details of what this means, but it's very interesting. Is that
9-11?
What? So what's the 9? The 11 I get. What's the 9?
I don't know.
Okay, the 9.
No, but, 9 is MS.
The Dali. Okay, so this is very interesting. Toiv Yelad Miskin. Not only do we know that the word Yelad is a code for Yosef, because Yosef was the most beloved, and the word Yelad means Haben Yaakov Yelad Shashu, but it's also Yelad is a remnant to Yosef, because Yelad is Dali backwards, and Yosef was number 11, and number 11 represents the concept of Dali. So we have here a code for Yosef. A final idea. This pasuk refers to Shlomo HaMelech, as we mentioned before. Toiv Yelad Miskin V'Chachami Melech Zokin V'Chasil Asher Lo Yidel Yizard, and then he goes on to describe himself. Shlomo HaMelech says in Pasuk Yidalet, let me tell you about my life. Kimi beis ha surim yotzel limlach. I was a nothing. He's a humble man. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, I want to tell you. He's talking about himself. He's writing Koheles, so he's writing a lot about himself. There's a lot of hidden messages about himself. I started off as I came out from the beis ha asurim, which Rashi told us means the womb. The womb is a prison. A fetus is trapped inside the mother's womb. It's not able to escape until 9 months, until its term is over. Yotzel limlech. And when I was born, I was designated for malchus. But you know what happened to me? I got a little carried away. I got a little arrogant. I committed averos. And what happened? Ashmedai came along and deposed me. Kigam b'malchuso. In my malchus, while I was at the height of my malchus, noilad rosh. I was born again new as a poor person. I was deposed. I was removed from my malchus. I found myself out in the streets as a pauper. No one believed who I was. All he had in the street was a cane. He was walking around begging for food and drink. So the Pasuk Yudal is describing his life. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Tes Vav. Pasuk Tes Vav says, Re'isi Eskola HaChayim HaHalchem Tachas HaShemesh. I have seen, Shlomo is speaking, I have seen all of the living that walk HaMahalchem Tachas HaShemesh, that travel Tachas HaShemesh, Im HaYelid HaShini Asher Yamo Tachtov, with the second child that stands in his place. Now, there's a lot of, this Pasuk is extremely vague, and therefore it's open for many possible interpretations. Now, before you even see the first interpretation, I want to just mention one very interesting idea. Last week's parasha, we have a pasuk, Ki Hashem Elokecha mishaleich bikerev machanecha, v'hayu machanecha kadosh, mishaleich. The commentators tell us that there are two words for traveling. There is the word hoileich and mishaleich. Mishaleich. The pasuk here says, Re'isi Eskol HaChayim HaMahalchim. It did not say HaHolchim. It said HaMahalchim. HaHalchim is more of the passive form. When it says in the pasuk, Ki Hashem Elokechem mis, here's a suf, mishaleich, instead of holeich. I'm not sure how it fits into this word, so we'll just, let me just tell you the idea, and we have to come back and figure out how it fits in this word. But the different, when your person travels, why do you travel? Is traveling just for the purpose of reaching your destination, or is there something to be gained from the experience of the journey itself? When you go on a vacation, you like to take a scenic route. You want to enjoy the trip. If you're going, you want to go to California. So you can go to California, you can get on a plane, and you can buy economy and sit like a sardine and just get to your destination. Or you can drive there, you can go on a train, and you can enjoy the experience of traveling from here to your destination. Once already I need to get to my destination, I might as well enjoy the trip. So Generally speaking, when the pasuk used the word holeich means the traveling is insignificant. It has no meaning, and the quicker you can get it over with, the better. When the word mishaleich means to take pleasure and to learn and to benefit from the actual journey. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki Hashem Elokecha mishaleich bekerev machanecha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He comes. Doesn't just come to see results. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in your machaneh, if it would say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hoilech bekerv machanecha, that would have a connotation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an agenda. We don't know what his agenda is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he passes over the world, he goes from one place to another place, and he just, when he'll pass through, he'll happen to give a peek and see what's doing in your life. That's not what the pasuk says. Ki Hashem Elokecha mishaleich bekerev machanecha. Hashem is traveling in this world together with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is enjoying the trip. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spending time with you, just like we are traveling. We are travelers in this world. We are here in this world for a purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in this journey. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just concerned about results. Now that idea has to be taken into consideration in the word, the former word of the Kibbutz. There are many different words you could have used to describe life that is mahalch. Doesn't say, if it would say in the pasuk, haholich tachas hashemesh, that would mean that people just, they live in this world to get it over with. Hashem put me in this world for a purpose, so let time pass as fast as possible. Let's just get it over with. That's not the pshat. Every person in this world that's life has a duty, hamahalchim, to take advantage of all of the different events that happen, all the different things that the world has to offer. So let's take a look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Tezvav. Re'isi be'enai, re'isi is kol anoshim haharutzim v'hazirizim. People that are diligent. I have taken it of all people in the world that are diligent, that travel in this world. Im hayelad hasheni, Okay, so now he's telling us about the Yelid Hasheni is not the Melech Zokein Uchasil, and is not the Yelid, the Yelid Miskein, the Chacham. It's a third person. The Mitzudos is making it very clear that in Pasuk Kezvav we are discussing a third individual. The person that's now going to come after the Yelid, so we start off with the Melech, who is the Kesil, and he dies, or he is replaced by the Yelid Miskein V'Chacham. But the time is going to come when the Yelid Miskein V'Chacham will also pass from this world, and will be replaced by his successor. His successor is what we're calling over here the Sheni. Hanoilad achar ze hayelad hamiskein asher molad atzma bichachmos of yotzal limloch. The Yelid Miskein escaped from prison and ruled the world. Asher yamoy tachtov asher shofatiti badati. I judged in my mind shehu yamoy bimelucha tachas harishon hamoylech achar. Now, what exactly does all of this mean? So now he explains what he just said. I've seen in this world, I've analyzed the entire world, all of the diligent people. I've also seen and tested, analyzed his wisdom, opposite their wisdom, and they're nothing.
Nobody compares to
them. No one compares to the chachma of these two people, of the Yelid Miskin and his successor. Therefore, I understood shehu yimloch, that he will rule. So he's saying basically over here is that this pasuk Tezvav is a continuation of pasuk Yud Gimel Yud Aleph, and it's telling us that even though this Yelid that is poor, being that he is a Chacham, he will break out of prison. He will break out of prison and rule the world. And not only will he rule the world, he will also guarantee that his child, that he will have a successor. That the successor will be like him. He will appoint a successor. Im hayeled hasheni, which is going to be the successor of the yeled miskein v'chacham of the previous pasuk. Okay, that's seemingly what he seems to be saying. Let's see Rashi. Rashi has it goes off on a totally different approach, and it goes into Medrash. Reisi es kol hachayim otzasi b'medrash hasefer hazeh zeze dor hamabel. The beginning of the pasuk refers specifically to the Dor HaMabul. Shnem Abohem Umikol HaChai. The words Eskol HaChayim is a code word for the Dor HaMabul. Im HaYeled HaSheni is a reference for the Dor HaFloga. Asher Yiskayim Tachas Osa Dor HaShehim Noach Ubonav. The Dor HaMabul and the survivors. The survivors is Noach and Ubonav. So I've analyzed these two generations. Okay, let's do the next pasuk just to finish up to lead into the Rashi's, because you can't do the Rashi's. The next pasuk is Ein Keitz L'Chol Am. There is no end L'Chol Am L'Chol Asher Hayah Lifneihem, to all that came before them, and Gam Ho Acharonim Lo Yismichu Vo, and the later generations will not find any joy either. Kigam zehevel v'rayon ruach. This is futility, and it brings to a broken spirit. Let's just finish up the Rashi first. Rashi says, "As ein kates l'chol am, parim v'ravim hayu yoiser midai." Okay, the population growth is out of control. Shenemar zarom nochon lifnehem. Their seed is established before them. Isha misaberes violedes lishleshes yomim yishluchu katzoin avilehem. They give birth after 3 days, and they send forth their children like sheep. Avilehem means their children. Their children they send for. So it seems that from the time before the Dor HaMabul, people would give birth very quickly. It wasn't a big deal to have a child. L'chol asher hayu lifneihem, ein keitz l'chol tov shehayu lifneihem, v'akol ovad uverega. In one moment, Sha'ol Yechotu, they descended into the grave. The generation before the Mabul was blessed with enormous blessing. The world was a very different world. The world produced enormous bracha. People gave birth in 3 days. The earth produced tremendous bracha. And all of this was lost in one moment. Gamho Acharonim, what does that refer to? Dor Haflaga. The next generation, Lo Yismichu, Gam Heim B'Toiv Hanitan B'Yadam, also the Blaracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them, also is not going to, they will not rejoice, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed them. Ki Gam Zeh Soifa Shal Hevel V'Rayon Ruach Kasher Odom Mahalich Achar Yitzra, when a person goes after his Yetzirah. So according to the Parish of the Rashi, we take these two Pesukim together, Pasuk Tezvav Tezvav Tezayin, we're discussing the Dor, the before the Mabul, and Noach, and the door that comes after the Mabul. We see it's called Hachayim, Hamahalchem Tachas Hashemesh, Im Hayelid Hashini Asher Yamo Tachtov. The Chayim refers to the door before the Mabul, together with Noach and his children. In Keitz L'Cholom, there was no end to these people. These people, they reproduced in enormous numbers. L'Chol HaShohoyu L'Fnehem. Everything, L'Chol here means Baracha. L'Chol Asher Hoyo L'Fnehem. Every form of blessing was given to them. The world produced for them enormous bracha. And what happened? They were completely obliterated. Gam ho acharonim. Then the later generation, Dor Haflaga, received enormous bracha. Lo yismichu vo. They will not rejoice in the bracha, because they will also be destroyed. The Dor Haflaga was also dispersed. Gam zehevel v'rayon ruach. All this just was all led to nothing. Let us see the mitzudos, and we'll stop. The mitzudos in the pasuk tes zayin says in Kates, b'nei malchus melech hazaken v'nei malchus hayelet harishon. So according to the mitzudos, this pasuk is going back to the previous psukim when we describe the melech zaken and the yeled miskan. Vinei malchus melech hazaken, vinei malchus hayelet harishon, lo hoya keitz l'chol ha'am. Now, what does that mean? V'choizim b'farish l'chol asher hoya lefnehem ratzol leimar, lo hoya day lehem liyos keitz l'chol ha'toiv asher hoya lefnehem, ki lo yismichu b'chelkam, ucho oimer, kemo shahoyu lefnei melech hazaken ha'kesil, kein hoya lefnei hayelet hechacham asher melech tachtav, ki im kol chochmoso, lo hoya b'yodo that even the new king, who was the Yeled Miskein, was unsuccessful in influencing the people from abandoning their evil ways. So it's gam ho acharonim, gam b'nei ha'om asher yiyu lo acharonim, b'nei malchus hayeled hasheni, gam heim lo yismichu b'tov asher yishra. They're not going to rejoice in the tov asher yishra asher yiyu b'yodam. Ki yisavu tavo laharbo, so they're going to one more. What?
Never satisfied.
Even though two good kings ruled, b'zeh hazeh, Ein biyadam lehatoyz levavim lismach mechalkam. They're still foolish to pursue the bracha. They're not willing to realize that pursuing gashmius is not going to give them happiness. Ki gam zehevel gam hamalchus chachamim hevel. Even the malchus of the chachamim hevel the shever rotzain. Ki ein biyadam lesiasher das bnei adam el derech hanachon. Even the wise kings are not successful in influencing the people to do good. Ki ein to elas ve'ein niloi rotzain. Okay, so let's review it outside. The basic idea, according to the Mitzvah, is the psukim over here, and together discussing three generations of kings. We first start off with the melech Zokain Ukisil. And in his tenure, under his watch, the world is out of control. The world is pursuing a lifestyle that is destructive. They're pursuing Gashmias. They're not focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happens? There is a Nela, there is a Yeled. He's Miskain, he's poor, and he's a Chacham. And he's locked up in prison. and he is and his chokhmah is so great, he's able to overcome all the obstacles, all of the limitations, and rule over the entire world. So we would expect that at this point in time, since this individual is so wise and so great, he will be able to turn the tide and convince the people Bahamayin Am in this world to stop pursuing Gashmios, to focus on spirituality instead of materialism. That's what we would expect. But guess what? He's a failure. Okay, maybe the next generation. The third, the Yeled Hashini Ashayamoy Tachtov. Then comes the third king. The third king is also a wise, brilliant individual. So since he has going for him that he's now a second generation wise man, maybe now he will be able to build upon his predecessor and convince the world to abandon their foolish pursuit of Gashmias and focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and satisfaction instead of pursuit of Gashmias. No, even that's not going to happen. So the end is, no matter what you have, no matter who the leader is, the world will continue to spiral out of control. That is the approach of the Mitzudasim. So read the pasuk again inside. Just finish up. I'm making an observation. After I've mentioned the previous pasukim, there's the Melech Zokeinu Kesil, and there's the Yeled Chocham that overtakes him. But guess what? It doesn't make any difference. The world still continues to act in a foolish way. The kings do not have enough influence over the people. Even with the third generation, the Yelet Sheni is Sheni to the first Yelet. Asher Yamo Tachtav. Ein Keitz L'Cholom. The people are out of control. There's no end to their pursuit of materialism. L'Chol Asher Hoyu L'Fenehem. Even everything that was before, even though they have, they should be satisfied. They have enormous bracha in front of them. It doesn't matter. The next generation, just like the previous generation, when there was a foolish king that was not satisfied, so the next generations are also not satisfied. So it turns out that the leadership that's done by wise people also leads to nowhere. Okay, so these are the two basic mahalchim. We have Mitzudas, we have Rashi. Tomorrow we'll do the Targum, and a couple of interesting midrashim.